Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, a publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Matt Daugherty, the executive director of the Casino Reinvestment Development Authority, New Jersey's agency that controls the tourism district in Atlantic City and directs the city's redevelopment. The GGB podcast is brought to you by RIMAX, the industry's largest incentive provider and experts in customer loyalty, employee recognition, player loyalty, and corporate giving. For more information, visit RIMAXinc.com.
And the gambling commissioner's hanging on by the skin of his teeth. Everything dies, baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday.
The Casino Reinvestment Development Authority, the CRDA, was developed in the early 1980s to help redevelop Atlantic City and other parts of the state of New Jersey. The CRDA is funded by 1.25% tax on casino revenues in the state. Matt Daugherty is the former mayor of Belmar, New Jersey, and was appointed to lead the agency 18 months ago. He explains how he was doing his job during a time when the state has taken over Atlantic City government and directs its spending and other operations. He spoke with me at the CRDA offices in Atlantic City in August.
What I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets.
Matt Daugherty, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. And I want to thank you for joining us because you keep my streak intact. I've interviewed every executive director of the CRDA since it's started back in the mid-80s. So thanks for keeping that streak intact.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So let's start off with kind of a little background on the CRDA. It's really been an important agency in the development of Atlantic City and the state, for that matter, reinvesting casino funds into the state, all across the state. In the beginning, it was mostly flowed to other parts of the state, but now it's much more focused on Atlantic City. How are you helping to direct those funds to the places where they do the most good?
We work with the city itself, the mayor and the council, along with the lieutenant governor, who is also the commissioner of the Department of Community Affairs, on what the priorities are. And they were laid out pretty broadly in the Jim Johnson report that was issued in 2018.
Okay.
So we use that as a guideline for how we should appropriately allocate CRDA funds within the four corners of Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. So the money is going to stay in the city. The question is, how is it best allocated to have a real positive impact on the residents who live here?
Right. Over the years, there's been degrees of dissatisfaction from the casino industry toward this agency. What have you done to kind of shore up the agency's relationship with the industry?
Prior to me coming on board, years ago, the CRDA expanded and now has 17 members,
okay,
which is a very large board.
Right.
Two of those are casino executives that are directly appointed by the governor.
Okay.
So they have adequate representation on the board.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the other casino executives around town, have you had meetings with them? Have you had a lot of interaction with them?
Sure, I've had meetings. There's been some changes over the last 18 months that I've been at CRDA.
Right.
Overall, it's a positive response to what we're doing at CRDA and how we're allocating our dollars now going forward.
Mm-hmm. And do they give you suggestions on what they think works, what doesn't work, that kind of thing?
They do.
Yeah.
And some of those suggestions we take to heart.
Mm-hmm.
Some influence the policy that we implement here in the city. And some don't fit within the model of how we're looking to spend the resources here in the city.
Okay. Let's talk about the tourism district. It started a few years ago. So how do you work with Atlantic City officials and the board members to oversee this area?
So years ago, the CRDA was given land use jurisdiction over the tourism district, which is very odd. Mm-hmm. I was the mayor of my town in Belmar, and the mayor and council, along with the planning board and the zoning board, control the land use.
Right.
In about 45% of Atlantic City, it's CRDA. But I am very cognizant of the fact that this is a city that has a mayor and a council, has a planning board and a zoning board. So we respect them. We work with them. we make sure that any actions we're going to take that they know ahead of time and get their input on them, whether they think they're a positive or not a positive thing. And if they're not a positive thing, then we reevaluate it, to be very honest with you. We take their opinion into consideration significantly. We also are working closer now with the city than before. So our code enforcer, you know, spends time here, but also spends time over at City Hall working with people on their land use certificates and other land use compliance activities to make it more seamless between CRDA and Atlantic City when it comes to land use jurisdiction in the tourism district.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the elements of that was to tear down abandoned buildings and structures that were considered blighted and things of that nature. And, you know, walking through the district, there's still quite a few of those buildings that haven't been addressed. What are you doing to address those problems?
Well, we work with the city on a demolition program, both inside the district and outside the district. Mm-hmm. Blight doesn't know any district lines.
Right.
And when people come to Atlantic City, they don't say, well, I'm not in the tourism district, so it's okay if there's blight. Now I'm in the tourism district, there shouldn't be blight. Mm-hmm. People, you know, the lines are arbitrarily drawn. So we work now with the city on demolition of abandoned properties, dilapidated properties. We had $1 million program with them that's run its course, and they've requested another $1 million from us to continue that work going forward. I believe the board will be considering something like that in October or November of this year.
Okay. So now the state has taken over city government to a large extent. I mean, there's, as you say, there's still a functioning, semi-functioning anyway, city council and mayor's office. How does the CRDA work between that two relationship?
Well, we work very closely with Lieutenant Governor Sheila Oliver, who has an enormous heart for Atlantic City. She comes out of Essex County. She understands urban challenges and is willing to get her hands dirty, making sure, you know, Atlantic City moves forward. Mm-hmm. But I would tell you that I make a real effort to show a tremendous amount of respect for the elected officials here in Atlantic City. I was an elected councilman at one time. I was an elected mayor at one time. Mm-hmm. So there is a certain way that they deserve to be addressed and a certain way they deserve to be dealt with. So even though there is state control in Atlantic City and over Atlantic City government, I do my very best to make that more of a partnership when it comes to CRDA than any type of oversight or control.
Mm-hmm. How about the city departments? Does CRDA have interaction with a lot of the city departments?
Sure, particularly the police department. Mm-hmm. You know, this year we are now up to $3 million that CRDA grants on an annual basis. That's for Class 2 officers who are not full-time police officers, and that's also for 15 NCOs, neighborhood community or neighborhood coordination officers. Mm-hmm. These are police officers that are, you know, out of the car, not on a bike. They walk door to door, checking in on businesses, talking with residents, and trying to address some of the quality of life issues at the grassroots level, because that's important as well.
Sure. No question.
So we interact a lot with the police department. We interact a lot with the land use, with planning and development. Any projects that come to us, we make sure we go to the city with. Any projects that go to the city, they make sure they come to us with. So there's a good interaction between the two of us when it comes to projects and development. And lastly, the Department of Public Works. Mm-hmm. So we have a special improvement district, a SID, and they do a decent amount of DPW-type activities in the tourism district. And we work with the Department of Public Works in Atlantic City to supplement them, particularly in the summer months when things get busy, so that the tourism district is as clean as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we interact a lot with the departments themselves.
Okay, great. So I'm trying to understand a little bit more on how you get a project before the CRDA to be considered by the board. Can individual citizens just bring something up, or can a company bring something up? How does that work?
Both individual citizens, developers, small, big, medium-sized, whether it's Atlantic Care or Stockton University or one of the casinos, they all come with ideas. They get vetted through me and the professional staff here at CRDA. If we think they're worthy and have merit, then they go before the board, and we allow people to advocate for their position. And typically, if it's going before the board, we would advocate with them as well.
Okay.
That it would be a good idea to move forward on a certain project, depending on what that project is.
Okay. We've seen some big projects like the Harrah's Conference Center. I know CRD money was in that. The big wheel on the steel pier. There was some backing there. Are there smaller projects that we're not aware of that the CRDA is involved in terms of with businesses and then the private sector?
Yeah, I'll give you one example. There are three affordable housing buildings in the city that are owned now by a company called Sensit.
Mm-hmm.
They came to us for a $4.5 million grant. That grant was part of a whole layer of financing that included HMFA.
Mm-hmm.
It included historic tax credits, a variety of different lending sources. So we were just part of that. We weren't a big part of it, mm-hmm. but an important part of it. So.
Right.
Yeah, there are the more glamorous projects, Hard Rock, Ocean Resort,
right.
The Borai project with that housing, but also some of the smaller ones as well where we're putting mm-hmm. money in.
Okay. So does it help to spur development in Atlantic City by having the CRD involved in it, even if it's just a small portion of that funding?
Yeah, I think when you come to us, even if it's a small portion of the funding, we have a good track record of moving projects along.
Mm-hmm.
One of the frustrations that developers have in other areas is how long it takes for their approvals.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time period, markets can change. So, you know, a two-bedroom apartment in 2017 may not be the same price as one in 2019.
Right.
So you want to try to build as soon as possible once you have your approvals. So if those approvals take a long time to get, it delays that and it adds to your market risk of not having a shovel in the ground or a ready product
mm-hmm.
to start either renting or selling.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to think that we expedite projects along pretty well.
Okay, great. Now, the Special Improvement District was an independent agency for a while, and I guess it was about 10 years ago now that it was folded under CRDA authority. How do you run that?
So as executive director, I oversee the director of the Special Improvement District. Their funding comes from two sources. One are the assessments on the businesses mm-hmm. in the Special Improvement District, and a majority of it comes from the Casino Reinvestment Development Authority, from CRDA.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They run a great operation.
Mm-hmm.
They do a tremendous amount without a lot of resources.
Right.
I would put them on par with any other Department of Public Works and just about any other town in the state of New Jersey
mm-hmm.
for all their effort and what they do. You know, Atlantic City is not a very big city.
Right.
It's only 6 square miles and only about 40,000 residents. But when it comes to the summer months, when it comes to tourists,
mm-hmm.
we bring in about 24 million people.
Right.
And they're primarily heading to the tourism district.
Mm-hmm.
So the Special Improvement District does a fantastic job keeping it as clean as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the shoulder months, in the winter, obviously not the same amount of need for during the summer months. Is there layoffs or are they temporary employees hired for the summer months?
Yeah, the staff goes up and down based on the need.
Mm-hmm.
And as you would imagine, you know, this is a seasonal town just like the rest of the Jersey Shore. So in the summer months, we're fully staffed up. And as the you know, the fall arrives, we decrease numbers. As winter hits, you know, we get to the lowest point as we can, and then once spring comes back, it starts ratcheting back up again until full strength in the summer.
Our sponsor this week is RIMAX, an incentive powerhouse. RIMAX engages, empowers, and excites your customers and employees through the power of premium incentive merchandise. With access to over 15,000 trending products from 400 of today's top brands, RIMAX offers an unmatched portfolio of premium rewards that engage and inspire. Whether you're focused on corporate gifting, employee engagement, player loyalty, or customer retention, RIMAX has custom designed programs to fit all of your incentive needs. For more information, visit RIMAXinc.com. Now back to our podcast.
So let's talk about entertainment. You know, for a lot of years, CRDA has been funding some of the entertainment on the boardwalk and on the beach, also in Convention Hall, Boardwalk Hall, I guess we call it now. Do you really believe that that should be remain to be the direction of the CRDA when the casinos, that's kind of their business, you know, creating entertainment? And I don't know if you're taking something away from them when you bring entertainment to the beach.
Well, I will tell you that it seems as though Hard Rock has really changed the game in Atlantic City. They are extremely aggressive in bringing high-class entertainment here. Where I see CRDA's role, first and foremost, is not to compete with the private sector. Mm-hmm. So if private sector dollars are bringing in entertainment that used to take public sector dollars, well, that's a good thing.
Right.
I think.
Sure.
Where we do run into a challenge of having to bring entertainment to Boardwalk Hall, Boardwalk Hall has a capacity far exceeding any other place in Atlantic
sure.
City.
Right.
You know, we're somewhere around 13,000. Mm-hmm. The largest venue is at Hard Rock is about 7,500.
Right.
So it's really not even close. At the same time, because CRDA owns and operates Boardwalk Hall, we have to generate as much revenue as possible there
sure.
To offset the costs. So, you know, there's a delicate balance between not interfering with and not causing the private sector to have to spend more mm-hmm. for entertainment, but at the same time recognizing that, you know, we do need to operate Boardwalk Hall as somewhat of a business
right.
To generate revenue so that we can reduce the cost there.
Sure. At, you know, years ago, there used to be more cooperation between the casinos at Boardwalk Hall, especially when they had the big fights. I guess Trump ran them at that point, and he would sell so many seats to the surrounding casinos. I mean, can you do that with entertainment as well? Does that work that way as well?
In theory, we could. In practice, right now, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Could it happen? I believe it could. You know. If I was a betting man, would I bet that it will? I would not take that bet.
Right. Well, it certainly would require somebody with some real diplomatic skills, let's put it that way. So the CRDA has also land banked a lot of lots in Atlantic City, particularly in the South Inlet. You know, these lots are off the property tax rolls in the city, thereby increasing the taxes paid by the residents and the small businesses in the city. Wouldn't it make more sense just to sell those tracts, put them back on the tax rolls, and get and take some of the burden off of the existing landowners and businesses?
We are doing our very best now to reduce the overall CRDA footprint in Atlantic City, and that includes all those lots. Mm-hmm. So we've had a couple successful auctions with the properties that have been accumulated over years. So CRDA owns less property today than when I became executive okay. director, and it's my goal to continue that trend moving forward. I agree with you 100%. These properties should be back on the tax rolls or used for some other social benefit in mm-hmm. Atlantic City. The fact that they're sitting vacant, not paying taxes, is unfortunate, and we're making a concerted effort to move in the direction of getting those back on the tax rolls.
Okay, great. So speaking of taxes, you know, the fluctuating property taxes in Atlantic City has been a real problem in addressing a development and attracting more investment in Atlantic City. You know, people aren't going to come in and open businesses or build homes if they don't know what the tax rate is going to be, you know, in roughly over the next 10 years. Is there any way we can encourage investment in Atlantic City at the same time not hurting the businesses and the homeowners that currently exist?
Absolutely. And we are aggressively doing that, particularly trying to take advantage of the four opportunity zones that Governor Murphy chose for Atlantic City. So there are four opportunity zones that are all contiguous, and they run all along the beachfront. Mm-hmm. So you have some of the prime real estate in the entire East Coast
right.
that's considered an opportunity zone, mm-hmm. which would allow investors to take capital gains, invest here in these opportunity zones. We're actually sitting in one right now mm-hmm. where we're doing this interview, and allow them to defer their capital gains in addition to eliminating capital gains for anything that's generated, any profit that's generated in that opportunity zone. So we're working through how to attract that capital for the right projects for it to make sense. But yeah, I would say that there's tremendous opportunity in Atlantic City.
Okay. So before you came to the CRDA, you were a very successful mayor in Belmar, and one of your talking points there was that you kept property taxes level for, what, 7 years or something like that?
So just to plug what we did now. When I was mayor, we had no tax increase for 7 years. I became mayor in 2011 and left in 2018. And the taxes collected in 2018 were less than the taxes collected in 2011. Mm. I'm sorry, the taxes collected in 2018 were less than the taxes collected in 2011. And we did that by growing and expanding our commercial tax base. Mm. So we had more private economic development in Belmar in the years I was mayor than in the previous 30 years. Mm. And that was able to not just lower taxes, but also expand on programs we had. Mm. And we did it while recovering from the worst natural disaster in the history of the state of New Jersey that landed right on our doorstep in the form of Hurricane Sandy. Mm. That destroyed our beachfront, destroyed our pavilions, destroyed our boardwalk, all of it, which was rebuilt within a few years to keep those 143 small businesses in Belmar moving forward. Mm-hmm. Because tourism is the lifeline of Belmar, much like tourism is the lifeline of Atlantic City as well.
So your experience in Belmar and as well as your financial background, has that really been something you could draw on here as executive director of CRDA?
Yes. The experience of moving public policy forward, but also doing it in a way that's financially responsible, understanding the financial constraints you have and stretching every single dollar for as much as you can get out of it. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, having worked with the state through Sandy recovery, working with the county, federal officials, I am able now to draw on a pretty good base of experience when it comes to multiple entities working together. That's exactly what Atlantic City needs. Mm-hmm. I mentioned before, when you work with a mayor, you need to understand what motivates mayors. And, what keeps them up at night? I don't want to add to that. I want to subtract from that. I want to try to bring value to Atlantic City. And that's why one of the things I tell folks when I speak in public to them, to the residents, is that I feel that my position here as executive director of CRDA is to serve the residents of Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. Much like when I was mayor of Belmar, I served the residents of Belmar. I'm here to serve the residents of Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. I do that in conjunction with the mayor and with the council, not in replace of them. I think that when you look at some of the progress we made, the projects we have looking at in the future, particularly a grocery store mm-hmm. in Atlantic City. Atlantic City hasn't had a decent grocery store in well over a decade. It's deemed a food desert. And recently we awarded a designation of developer and operator to ShopRite to come in on CRDA-owned property and develop and operate a first-class grocery store. None of that would have been done without all the teamwork from the state, county, and the local leaders as well.
Well, just to play devil's advocate here for a second, CRDA actually did develop a grocery store on Atlantic Avenue 15 years ago, I believe it was, at least, and that grocery store failed because the security and there was just too much riffraff in there. And how are you going to prevent that from happening again?
So in 1996, CRDA entered an agreement to create something called Renaissance Plaza.
Right.
And it was supposed to have a grocery store. That grocery store originally was 40,000 square feet. Now it's about half that. The other 20,000 square feet is a liquor store, the cheapest liquor store in the city of Atlantic City. The Save-A-Lot itself doesn't have real fresh produce. It's not, I don't know what you would call it. I wouldn't necessarily designate it a grocery store any longer. We are going to learn from the mistakes of the past, and that was clearly a mistake. The lease on that property was 99 years. That means Renaissance Plaza and Save-A-Lot can exist in the form that it is today until 2094. That is an abomination. What we're looking to do with the property we have in ShopRite is to grant them the land and charge them $1 a year rent. So we will be the landlord, which gives us some rights and responsibilities. And we will ensure that the agreement we put together with them holds them accountable for the condition of the property, for the produce that they sell, and you know, ensure that those safety issues that have been in the past and are currently a concern at the Save-A-Lot do not creep back into a place like ShopRite. Mm. I would also tell you that, you know, we engaged consultants. We spoke with the public at town halls to find out what they wanted. The only thing I know about grocery stores is getting a list from my wife and going there and making sure I get everything on the list. That's about it.
Yeah.
So we engaged consultants. We met with the people. I don't know if they ever did that before.
Yeah.
So we wanted to do it the right way and pick the right operator. And when you look at a track record of a ShopRite, I don't think we could have chosen anyone better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no question. It's people go out to Epseek and to shop in that shop, right? So might as well have one in town. So that makes sense.
And I will tell you that through the town halls, and again, my role as CRDA executive director is to engage with folks in the community. And I remember distinctly a woman who was a single mom, and the way she went grocery shopping was what she does now is she takes a bus out to Pleasantville to a Sam's Club, and then does her grocery shopping, and then takes a cab back from Pleasantville to Atlantic City and has to pay $25 for that cab ride. Mm-hmm. That's the on-the-ground, everyday reality that folks face in a food desert like Atlantic City.
Right.
And the opportunity to solve a problem in a town like this, to have a real positive, meaningful impact for a woman like that, but thousands of people just like her, you know, is exactly what a CRDA should be doing.
Okay. One more thing. I talked to a couple of casino presidents this year, and they were bemoaning the state of the actual roads coming into Atlantic City, that their customers have tell them they, you know, they rattle their shock absorbers on the way in and on the way out. Is there a role for the CRDA to help the city kind of maintain those roads or make them better?
Well, I think a lot of people go to CRDA for projects. Mm. You know, when it comes to economic development, that makes a lot of sense. With the limited resources we have now, because the IATs, the investment alternative taxes, are now redirected away from CRDA to Atlantic City to pay down their debt, mm-hmm. we do not have the same financial resources we had in the past. Mm-hmm. So if you drive down Pacific Avenue, you're going to notice that it's a nice, smooth drive. That was paid for by CRDA in the years past. Mm. We do not have those same financial resources today to engage in those type of infrastructure projects. I would also tell you that really those projects should come from the State Department of Transportation, just like other paving projects come in other towns and municipalities. So, you know, the one thing that's important at CRDA, as important as it is to figure out what our role is also important to realize some of the things we should not be getting into. Mm. And, you know, right now with the limited resources we have, it'd be a challenge for us to really put meaningful resources behind infrastructure projects like paving.
Okay, great. Well, Matt, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it. I think you're doing a great job here in the first year or so, and look forward to a lot of other improvements as you go through your term here. So thanks for taking the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure being with you.
You enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, brought to you by RIMAX, the industry's leading incentive provider and experts in customer loyalty, employee recognition, player loyalty, and corporate gifting. For more information, visit RIMAXinc.com. To learn more about how Atlantic City and its gaming industry is faring, visit GGBMagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at ggbnews.com. And to attract quality players to your online poker, casino, or sports betting websites, visit igamingplayer.com. And we'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast.